GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Yeah, welcome back. It's time to talk Gaelic football after a really interesting weekend over the course of the four Alliance League football divisional finals. Division 1, Dublin beating Galway by 18 points to 14 in a really interesting game at Croke Park. The Division 2 final was won by Roscommon. They shared 8 goals with Cavan. And in Division 3, there was a win for Armagh over Fermanagh, and Laois got the better of Carlow in the Division 4 final. To go through it all, we're joined by former Mayo and Armagh footballer Billy Joe Padden. Billy Joe, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the call.
No problem. Delighted to be on air again.
The big question coming into this Division 1 final, Billy Joe, was could the system and the style of play that Galway had engineered throughout the regular portion of the league campaign on slightly heavier pitches against teams that maybe weren't as well conditioned as they might be later in the summer, could that be replicated against the All-Ireland champions Dublin in the wider expanses of Croke Park? And on the face of it, they kind of answered that question in the affirmative.
They did, and I also think that they changed slightly. I'm saying this as well, I didn't see the last two rounds of the league that Galway played, the Dublin game and the Kildare game. But I think the most impressive thing about Galway, particularly in that first half, was in some of the earlier rounds of the league, particularly against Mayo and Kerry, where they had got good results and were really effective counter-attacking, Galway were not that keen on possession. But what impressed me most about Galway, about the whole thing they did yesterday, was that first half, they dominated possession. They were very good on all the set pieces, the restarts. They, at one stage, I think after 22 or 23 minutes, they had like 60% possession. That's practically unheard of against Dublin. But that's what you need to do to be in the game against Dublin, because I think they recognise you can't just sit back and defend and let Dublin play the ball, because they will eventually get the scores. They mightn't get them straight away, but they will show enough patience to get the scores and actually see the game out. But that's the most important thing for Galway, is that they seem to be learning as they're going along and adapting. And that is probably the thing that impressed me most about Galway's performance yesterday.
So you're seeing a Galway team that, as the months and weeks go on under Kevin Walsh, they're becoming increasingly well drilled, to the point that every player in this Galway team now knows exactly what his role is. They look like a side that are driven by certain scenarios, so that when something does happen, they know how to react. And that's a clear sign of progress, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. The progress is huge, really, because I have to admit, I was expecting them to be kind of cagey and aggressive, and they were aggressive again, and focus solely on the counter-attack. But when they, put their front forward, in that opening spells of the game, they wanted to dominate, they were physical. When they won back possession, they used it well, they moved it quickly if the opportunity was there, they retained possession if it wasn't, and that shows maturity, and it shows the ability that they have to adapt. I think it's always something you would say about Galway footballers, is that they are always very good on the ball and have a high skill level. But they showed, I suppose, a tactical awareness in that first half yesterday that maybe we weren't sure that they had. And now I think that there's definitely something there for Kevin Walsh to even build on, and they can become more, I suppose, astute in how they deal with the game. Because those games against Dublin in the latter stages of the championship were always very tactical. And I think that's probably what let them down a bit in the second half, is that they just struggled for possession. It wasn't anything that they weren't able to do when they were on the ball. They just didn't have enough possession in the second half.
The performance of Damien Comer, he's clearly in a talented forward line, but he's the real class act in that forward line. And he had Dublin rattled in that first half in particular. Philly McMahon and Johnny Cooper, one was trying to play in behind, one sweeping in front. They really struggled, to the point where Johnny Cooper was trying to convince the referee that for some of the fouls that were being given against Dublin with Comer involved, that he was actually diving. And as an aside, there's a certain irony about Johnny Cooper accusing other players of play acting above all the players in the intercounty game at the moment, but that's a discussion for another day. But it did seem that the way they utilised Comer Galway, they were able to get to Dublin. And I just wonder, what are the implications for Dublin and how their opponents analyse the Dublin full back line going forward as the season progresses? Do they really miss Keane O'Sullivan in that position?
They miss Keane O'Sullivan in his ability to sweep in front. I think he does it better than anyone else. And that was obviously lost. But I suppose, I almost felt sorry for Johnny Cooper in that situation. Almost. But it did make me laugh. And I see his point, even though I don't agree with it completely. And that Comer takes his man on sometimes with the knowledge that he's just going to win a free, because defenders can do nothing with him. He's too much pace, too much power, too direct. And a couple of those times, he knew he was going into more traffic. But he was just winning that physical battle, and the Dublin players had no other option. You know, when Dublin made contact with him, they were left hanging on. And a couple of times, Dublin players had fouled him, and then Comer decides, they're fouling me, so I'm going to ground. And I think Johnny Cooper was complaining about that. But the initial foul was by the Dublin defender. So
it's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, of course. It's a free every time. And it's just Comer just showing his awareness of, you know, how he uses his body really well. There was one time, I think, where he couldn't fight. And he just realised that. I think it might have been Scully was on his back. And he just said, I'm going to ground here and taking this easy free, and McHugh will kick it over the bar. And that's exactly the right thing to do for Comer. I don't really think Johnny Cooper could have any complaints. But the other thing, how will it affect the Dublin full back line going ahead? I'm not so sure it will, because Comer is such a rare breed of pace, power, ball control, aggression. You know, he's unlike any other full forward we've had. We've seen full forwards with a blend of physicality, like Donaghy. Like, he's a real handful, but he's more of a player that wins ball in the air and lays it off. He's just so big to handle. Whereas Comer's just so hard to stop once he gets turned and facing at you. He can go left, he can go right. His ball control is good, travelling at pace. And then you've no other option but to foul him. So he's a real unique sort of player and is very exciting to watch. And I, from Dublin's point of view, I just don't think, unless if they go again, you just don't face that type of opponent very often.
Okay, so if Dublin maybe don't have to worry about it too much, in that they may only face Comer once between now and the end of the season, and maybe not at all. Galway are going to have Comer to deal with every time they take to the fields. And so they have this battering ram laden with skill and power and pace. So if you're going to win the game, and if Galway are going to take that step, which means winning a big game in Croke Park, which they haven't done since they won the All-Ireland 17 years ago, they need to get him on the ball as often and as soon as possible, the way the phases of the game go. So their system doesn't always allow that, does it? Like, how do they break out quickly enough from defence to get him isolated as often as possible?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, as I said earlier on, the problem for them in the second half, they just didn't have enough possession. And even when they did have possession, that halfback line, as you rightly described, they didn't break through the lines quickly enough, two or three runners, so that they were in a position to get that ball into him quickly. Another thing, I'm not so sure what he's like over his head with a high ball coming in, like, say, a Donaghy would be, even though he does brilliantly at that point. He punches over the bar out of nothing. And they did seem quite reluctant to kick a few balls in like that to him, and I think that's maybe something they should look at.
He has shown in little stints around centre forward and midfield that he's capable of fielding.
Yeah, he has, and I think maybe in the league game against Mayo, he won an exceptional ball with three or four fellas around him. And I think maybe you're right, they should just maybe investigate that. When, you know, it's a bit more difficult when Dublin have got bodies back, can you just throw a ball in there and can he win it for you? Because if he gets it in his hands, he's so powerful, as we've described, that he very often wins the free, because his first step is so quick that he's gone beyond the shoulder of the defender, and they're inevitably either letting him through or they're fouling him. So I think it's something that they have to look at. But I think another thing that Kevin Walsh is trying to do is that they want to be structured in everything they do. They don't want to create easy turnovers for the opposition. I think that's probably one of the reasons why they've been a good counter-attacking team. They haven't taken too many risks when they've been countering. They've kept it in the hands. They've used their really good ball carriers, whether it's Comer, Walsh or Brannigan, and they've travelled with pace through with the ball. And I think if they're going to get Comer on the ball, what they needed in that second half was Brannigan and Walsh to be in that middle third and to be coming off the shoulder of somebody at pace and driving it at the heart of the Dublin defence, that kind of engaged a couple more Dublin defenders, that you could have slipped the ball off to Comer in a hand pass with him coming on the loop and turning and facing at the goals and really being hard to stop again. So I think it's about getting those other athletic players on the ball in the middle third, basically bring that ball forward to where Comer can do his real damage.
We could almost be accused of forgetting that it's actually Dublin that have won this game and they are the league champions, because we haven't mentioned them, but don't worry, we will get to Dublin in a moment. But just final word on what this game means for Galway. We've seen Derry and Cork in particular pull trees up in the league, get to a league final at Croke Park, only to be annihilated by Dublin, and for that to have serious repercussions on the rest of their season and beyond into the years after that championship campaign. So for Galway to go up and be level with Dublin with 14 minutes left, albeit they only scored once more in the last 16 or 17 minutes, but if there's a way to lose to Dublin at Croke Park, maybe this was it. 14 points isn't a bad score. They had several other chances, and there's an awful lot for them to take back to Galway with them ahead of this game with Mayo.
I think the only concern they can have is what toll the league will take on Galway in physical terms. And I think they've been very, very fit, very, very aggressive. throughout all the league games, and again yesterday. And as you described, the last 20 minutes, they did look tired. And that can be just them adapting to playing in Croke Park, and they need to play many more games at Croke Park to become truly used to it, because it's a very different arena to be playing football on. And the only worry I would have is whether they can continue to even improve physically as the season goes on, because I know Dublin will get stronger. Mayo in the past, a couple of years, have shown that they can get physically stronger as the season goes on. Kerry will definitely get stronger as those young players mature. And you just wonder, has Galway still room to improve physically, because they have given this league so much? But in terms of what they've produced, purely in a footballing sense and in a tactical sense, I think you're right. It was a really positive show from Galway. They've shown that they can develop, that they can adapt, that they can add something to their game plan. They're not just this defensive team that's going to sit back and counter, but they can be more of a proactive team in possession, particularly in that first half. And that, to me, shows that they are definitely on the right track.
It's a really interesting concern you do raise, though. And I guess there's the worry from a Galway point of view that Mayo, having really not left second gear in the league, let's face it, they haven't shown anything. They've shown no signs of progress. They haven't really unearthed anybody that we weren't already aware of last year. And they'll have had an extra week to get ready for this Galway game. There's almost a sense that maybe they'll be lying in wait for Galway in Castlebar. And Galway need to time this next 6 weeks very well, content-wise, training-wise, workload-wise, don't they?
They do. I don't think May will be the real issue for Galway. I think they can carry it, you know. And look, they're going to that Mayo game as red hot favourites there. Mayo haven't been great in May over the last couple of summers either. Mayo have really peaked in August, and you know, even going into the All Ireland finals, they've been really strong physically. It's, to me, the more the worry would go would be, I fully expect them, whatever happens against Mayo, to get into the Super 8. And you just wonder, will the toll of this, the work they've done in the spring, take shape when they have to go into those games at the Super 8? You know, when you're playing, what is it, 3 games probably in 4 weeks, you know, will they really suffer then? But in terms of what happens in May, I wouldn't be so worried, but maybe August.
Okay, let's move on to Dublin. It's a 9th national title in 6 years under Jim Gavin. It's their 5th league in 6 years. And this was a side that hadn't won the league since 1993, before Jim Gavin took over and won it in his first season in 2013. Look, they get an awful lot of credit, Billy Joe, for what they've done over the last 2 years. Some people are happy to consider them the greatest team of all time, even when taking into account the great Kerry team of the 70s and 80s. But this run is unbelievable. For a side that doesn't necessarily seem to take the league as seriously as they do the championship, to win 5 and 6, and the other one was a league final defeat with a ball, a free clip in the post and injury time against Kerry, it's an unbelievable run.
No doubt. An exceptional group of players, really. It's not just the team, it's a squad. And you can go through all those victories over the last 6 years, and different players have had a key impact in key moments. And I think that's probably one thing that separates them from the great Kerry team of the 70s and 80s, where you had the 9 or 10 absolute superstars on those Kerry teams that were driving that forward. Whereas the most impressive thing for me about this Dublin team is, like, they just seem to hand the baton over. And like this year in the league, you know, Kieran Kenny has been exceptional, and he's come to the fore as an absolute leader of this team, whereas, you know, he really didn't have that big of an impact in their last All-Ireland final win. And to me, that's the most impressive thing, that Jim Gavin is able to foster this leadership culture where players just take over and take that responsibility whenever it's necessary. And I think that really shows itself in those key moments when they're really put to the test. You know, Mayo have done an All-Ireland finals against them where they've asked some serious questions late in the game, and Dublin have always had the answer. And again yesterday, man down, 20 minutes to go, they produced again. And if key players stood up, well, Kilkenny showed composure yesterday late on in the game, I thought it was exactly what they needed when they were down a man. And, you know, last year maybe it was Jim McConnelly coming off the bench in the All-Ireland final was the key introduction in separating them from that Mayo challenge. And it's frightfully impressive. And as it goes on with the young talent that they have, you just think that Jim Gavin is probably the right man, that he's able to continue to bring people in and make that impact. And you look at Conor Callaghan coming off the bench, and who knows, maybe he'll be the fellow that will be driving it on when it comes to the summer.
Yeah, he came on for the last quarter of an hour, kind of for his first appearance this season, having been away with the Cooler Hurlers. And it was interesting, Jim Gavin was talking about O'Callaghan after the game, Billy Joe, and he said that he's probably fitter and stronger than any of the other players in the Dublin squad because of the game time he has been getting at a very high level hurling-wise over the last couple of months. And I just wonder, can you take that at face value that Dublin actually aren't very far down the road in terms of their strength and conditioning? And if you do take it at face value, they have so much improvement in them, which is not, it's pretty ominous.
Well, I think you can take it at face value because I think, look, Dublin, you know, they plan for their season the same as everyone else, and they know their squad, their players, you know, operate at a really high level of fitness just on their I suppose when they're coasting, and that's what they do throughout the league. And he will know that they will have a couple of weeks where they will really lift it up and really, you know, raise the pace of their training and their conditioning work, and they will be physically stronger in July, August, September. I have no doubt about that, because they will, like any, I suppose, strength and conditioning coach, their target will have been those super eights to be, you know, coming 90% of those super eights, to gain those last 10% and then key couple of games going into semi-finals and an All-Ireland final, because that's what they're planned for. And I fully expect them to be stronger. So I think there is an element of truth in what Jim Gavin says there. And I suppose that is ominous for everyone else. But I suppose if you're an inter-county manager, even Kevin Welch would probably think that they Galway have more to gain in terms of their physical preparation, depending on what they've done so far. And Mayo will definitely know, because they have planned over the last three or four seasons, and they've just struggled through the league, struggled through the early stages of the championship, with the view to just peak it for that six-week period in August and September.
They did seem to be somewhere close to the bare bones, and as much Dublin can be, given their depth and resources in the squad. When they lost James McCarthy, Paul Mannion to injury, we've already mentioned the likes of Keane O'Sullivan, Jack McCaffrey still not back. And they lost Niall Scully to that red card. That's two yellows. Dermot Connolly is still being rested. We really don't know what the ultimate background is to that. But Jim Gavin said, please God, when he was asked if Dermot Connolly will be back for the championship. And I just wondered, when you're looking at guys like Kieran Kilkenny, for example, these guys missing, he is standing up as a real leader. Where should he be being played? Where Kilkenny spent a lot of time at full forward in the league. What did you make of his role yesterday? And where would you have him if everybody's fit and available?
I thought that Dublin struggled early in the game because he wasn't on the ball enough. And I thought that you know, he probably needed at that stage to be out around the middle, just hunting the ball in those early stages. But I think Gavin, and this is something that I'm sure Jim Gavin and Kieran Kilkenny have talked about, I think they don't want to find themselves in a situation again where, like, Lee Keegan or whoever it is goes and man-marks Kieran Kilkenny out the field, because then it's extremely difficult for him to have an impact on the game. And that's why I think they've done exceptional work in adapting to his role, and that he can go inside and be effective and at full forward, and that kind of changes the dynamic of any man-marking job that will be done on him in the future, because he can ask serious questions in there and has shown to be very effective at full forward in this league campaign.
But I guess even if he is man-marked out of the game in that position, well, you've just taken Lee Keegan out of the rest of the game.
Exactly.
So you're winning regardless of whether or not Lee Keegan actually gets the better of Kieran Kilkenny.
Yeah, and for the fact that Kieran Kilkenny now is more comfortable playing in that full forward position at that level, and he can, you know, even mark that somebody as good, whoever it is, Lee Keegan or whoever, that, you know, he understands the rhythm of playing full forward, that he might spend 20 minutes with maybe getting three balls, but in those three balls he might set up a score and score 1-1 himself, and that's been very effective. Whereas Kilkenny over the last two or three years was used to having these enormous number of possessions where he'd get the ball, maybe go sideways, play a 1-2, just a total continuity footballer. And he's just adapted now that he can still do that, obviously, and he's the best in the game at it. But he can go in when he's being man-marked and say, well, okay, I'm going to put you on the back foot here on the edge of the square, and let's see how you react to this, Lee Keegan, or whoever that is going to be. And he can still be effective. But I do think that him in the full forward line, particularly when they're not doing well in the middle field, particularly when somebody like Fenton is not having his best period like he did in that early stage of the game yesterday, that Dublin lose something because they need him out there on that ball, you know, circulating possession, moving people around, and he really is the orchestrator of the Dublin possession game. You know, you can call him a playmaker all you want. He's not all the time going for the killer pass, but he's orchestrating the rhythm of the game and retaining possession. That's very important to what Dublin do over the last couple of years in terms of the patience they show.
Yeah, and he was a scoring forward at minor under 21 level, so it's not like he doesn't have history in that regard. Quick word before I let you go, Billy Joe, on the Division 2 final. Roscommon have some sort of an Indian sign over Cavan. I think that's 14 league and championship meetings, one win for Cavan. So Roscommon got the better of them again. They shared 8 goals between them. Cavan were out against Donegal in just a few weeks' time in their preliminary round of the Ulster Championship at Ballybuffet, so that's a really tough ask for them. But Roscommon under Kevin McStay, they're clearly not a one-season wonder. They've bounced straight back to Division 1 on the back of a poor league and then bouncing back and winning the Connacht title. How much of an impact can Roscommon have in the Championship with a favourable enough draw provincially? And obviously the big step for them would be reaching that Super 8s and having some regular football at a quarter-final level and build, backing up what they did in the two games against Mayo last year.
I think they've proven over the last couple of seasons that they are, they're on the fringes of the top 8. They're there, thereabouts. And they're, a lot will depend on this summer how they perform, whether they can get into the Super 8 and how we rank them. I think the key thing for them is that all these young players, the Murchis, the Smith, you know, Cathal Craig back now, you know, they're gaining loads and loads of experience in Croke Park in these high pressure games. And there's no doubt about it, they have some serious quality in the forward line. And they never panicked yesterday, even going behind with all those, conceding all those goals. And they still created chances. And it's not a case where they're relying on any one individual on that forward line. Like, even Cathal Craig came off the bench and got two goals. They have depth in that forward line to bring people off the bench that can have and make an impact. I suppose that is going to be huge for them. And I think it's something that me and you have talked a lot about, David, is that the importance of playing that sort of high-quality opposition to a team like Roscommon as they're trying to make that step. And I always felt that staying in Division 1 over a number of years is huge for a team like that. And I think that Monaghan at present are reaping the benefits of that in terms of the way their squad has developed. And I know that next season, that'll be huge for Roscommon in terms of trying to stay in Division 1.
Yeah, that's the end of the leagues and everything is just so beautifully set up for the Championship that will be upon us before we know it. Brilliant stuff, Billy Joe. Thanks so much for taking the call this evening.
No problem, dude.
Okay, so we've covered the rugby, we've covered the GA. In the next hour, we're going to focus on some of our best stuff that we've done over the last little while. In just after 8 o'clock, we are going to be hearing from Martin Johnson, who joined us ahead of Ireland's clash with England last month. There's some really good stuff on that, so stay with us.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.